Good morning. Last week, I talked about the sense of renewal. And I told a story about Nicodemus. Thank you. Aunt Mum's brilliant. last week, I talked about a story of Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to see Jesus. And he said to Jesus, teacher, how can a person be born again? How can they enter their mother's womb a second time? And Jesus replied, no one can enter the kingdom unless they are born again, not just with water, but the Spirit. The Spirit renews. And towards the end of last week, I finished with a couple of verses from Acts. And although I'm not continuing the same theme today, I do want to use the same verse that I finished with last week. Acts 2, 37 to 41. When the people heard this, so this was just after Peter had preached to the people who were there, the Holy Spirit had come, and Peter said, when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. If today you go home only remembering one or two things, could it be this? That we are saved by grace, which means that we don't need to worry, but we can boldly ask God, what do you require from me? And secondly, the word of God already tells us that the Lord requires us to love him and love others. Now, me and Jules didn't actually talk at all about her notice earlier, but it was interesting. I had a little laugh to myself as she stood up and said about the stuff that's going on this week. Actually, we go out into the world with our lanterns, and we go out because we love God and we love others. We are saved by grace, which means that we can boldly ask him, what do you require from me? Lord, what do you require? And secondly, the word of God already tells us that the Lord requires us to love him as we love others. What shall we do? That's what the people said in Acts. They said it to Peter. Brothers, what shall we do? What does the Lord require of us? And throughout the Bible, the scripture gives us examples of where people ask God different questions. Many people are looking to find out what God's will is for their lives. What do they need to do in order to get into the kingdom of heaven? And unlike other religions, Christianity is not about earning your way into heaven. It is about a relationship with God. We don't have to work for our reward. Through grace, we freely receive. We receive eternal life, not due to our own doing, but because God sent his Son so that we might have eternal life with him. But God invites us to be part of his mission. He invites all of us to come alongside him and to build the kingdom. We're invited to join him in that mission. So, Lord, what do you require me to do? That's a question we're asking today. And right at the start of the Bible, God gives us some really clear directions. In Leviticus 19:18, it starts by stating the laws that God gave to Moses to share with the people of ancient Israel at the time. And at the end of verse 18, God says, love, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. A command, a statement, an instruction which flows through the Bible. There are vast examples of where we are encouraged to look out for others and to avoid conflict. Lord, what shall we do? Lord, what do you require of us? Love your neighbor as yourself. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, just before the Israelites enter the promised land, Moses preaches on the Ten Commandments, and he finishes by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Later in the New Testament, Jesus refers to this as the greatest of all laws, greatest command. Lord, what shall we do? What do you require? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. and love others as you do yourself. In the book of Micah, the people of Judah and Israel were in a rough place and believed that they could make a deal with God, that through their sacrifices and their religious rituals, they could get into some kind of agreement. Micah spoke against them and explained how God was a God of justice, and despite their intentions to please God through rituals and the sacrificing of thousands of rams and rivers of oil, God actually upset and disappointed with the way that they treated the poor and the weak. In chapter 6, Micah goes on a rant to the Israelites, asking, what was God going to do with their thousands of rams and their rivers of oil? The Lord doesn't want that stuff. That what does the Lord require? The Lord requires us to act justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require? Act justly, love mercy and walk humbly. The people in Acts ask the same question. What does the Lord require? Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And I wonder how many of us ask, Lord, what do you require of me? What do you want me to do? How are you going to use me? And I wondered as I prepared this talk with John of, actually, are we in a position where we can ask the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace that question? How are you going to use me? And can I actually ask that question? Am I good enough to ask that question? And actually, let's not interpret that question incorrectly. As I was preparing this talk, I was treading on the edge of this being about identity. But it's a misconception. God does not need us to get ourselves into a position where we can be used by him. We do not need to change ourselves. We don't need to be better or stronger. We don't need to change. We don't need to become something that we're not. We don't need to be younger and more energetic or older and wiser. We don't need to become more Christian. We don't need to be good enough. Lord, what do you require from me? And the answer is in the book of Joel. I finished with it last week. It was Peter in the book of Acts talks, uses the words in Joel. And it says this, and afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women. God, can you really use me? When I ask, Lord, what do you require? Can God use me? Yes. In the book of Joel, it says, yes. I will pour out my spirit on all people, both men and women, the old and the young. The old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. I will pour out my spirit on all. Being daring enough to ask, Lord, what do you require? Isn't that easy, and we have to be prepared for the answer. In the New Testament, a number of people ask God, what do we do? How do we get eternal life? How do we become more like you? And in Luke 18:18, a man asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus reads to him the Ten Commandments, and the man says, but I've done all those things. And Jesus says, in that case, there's one more thing to do. Go, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. This man was a rich man. He wasn't expecting Jesus' answer. It was a big sacrifice. He asked Jesus a daring question, but wasn't prepared for the change that it would have on his life. And the Bible tells us that the man became sad after hearing what Jesus' answer was. In Luke 9:57, one man declares that he will come and follow Jesus, but asks, can I bury my father first? Another man says the same, Lord, I will come and follow you, but please let me go to my family and say goodbye. Jesus replies, let the dead bury the dead. You haven't got time to go and say goodbye to your family. Come and follow me. Sometimes there's a sacrifice. Asking God, what do you want me to do? What is the plan you have for my life? Here I am, Lord. Use me. What is the plan for this church, this building? What is the plan that God has for our community? What is the plan that God has for our city of Birmingham? And although we don't have to become more Christian, we don't have to become good enough, we do need to remember this is the King of Kings that we are asking. There might be a sacrifice. But the Psalms tell us that the fruit of our labour will be plentiful. The history of this church is evidence of how a group of ordinary people looked out and sought God's will for this community. They stepped out in faith. Lord, what do you require? In 1938, a little bit of a history lesson. In 1938, 15 people signed a document. David, please don't stand up and say, no. This has been taken from David's book that he very, very kindly lent to me this week. And it is fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating. So I'm hoping that I've got this right. In 1938, 15 people signed a document that would give their support to a Baptist church being built in Yardley. Baptists in Yardley. They were guided by the Holy Spirit, maybe. They were used to change this site's history. At the time of their first meeting about whether or not there should be a Baptist church built in on this land, the individuals present would not have known what the next few stages of the church's development would be. And due to World War II, the church's development ended up actually being put on hold. And it wasn't until 9 years later that the church was opened. In 1948, the church was opened. But in 1938, a group of risk-taking, faith-developing individuals put themselves forward and said, "This is what we think the Lord wants us to do." They wouldn't have known that 9 years later it was going to be something different. And they certainly wouldn't have known that 80 years later the building would look like this. With a church that helps to provide for different nationalities, different cultures throughout the week. And it happens all over the place. Only minutes down the road in Birmingham, there's a church where over 20 years ago, a group of individuals bought a piece of land right next door to Birmingham City Football Club. They bought that land years and years and years ago, and only now are they building upon it. 2020, that church was hoping to have their first service in their new church. 20 years ago, old men dream dreams. And most of them now probably have passed away. They won't have seen that by them stepping out in faith, buying a piece of land, just like those who secured this site as well to build a Baptist church, don't realise that for future generations what the impact might be. Lord, what do you require? That's the question that I want to be stuck in our heads this week. Do we dare to ask it? Do we dare to be used by the Holy Spirit? Do we dare to see what God might have in store for us? How that might just change our lives, how it might change the lives of people in our church, might change the history of this church. It might just change our communities, our families, our workplaces, our schools, our city. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. And church, if you're sat here right now thinking, I don't know how God is going to use me. Firstly, the book of Joel says, God will pour out his spirit on all people. You do not need to become more Christian. You do not need to become younger, wiser, more energetic. You don't need to become older or anything like that. It says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded. If you're sat here thinking, God won't speak to me, firstly, that's not what it says in the book of Joel. God will pour out his spirit on all people, regardless of who you are. But secondly, if nothing else, here it is. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey the things I have commanded you. Lord, What do you require? Go. Tell people about me. I'm going to go right back to the beginning of my talk in Acts 2. Acts 2, 37. Peter had just done the preach of his life. Peter had just spoken to all the people who had come. They had heard weird and wonderful things, people speaking in different languages. They could understand them in their own language, even though it didn't quite make sense. The people said, "Brothers, what shall we do? What does God want us to do? Repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." All over the Bible, people ask the same question. What should we do? How can I be guaranteed eternal life? Lord, what do you require? And when we ask that question, either as an individual or as a church, we set ourselves before God to be changed. And towards the end of Acts chapter 2, just after Peter's preach, Luke, the author of Acts, describes how the early church did it. And I just love it. I love this bit. It's my favourite bit in the whole Bible. Luke writes this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of the law and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I'm just going to read it again. I just think it's a fantastic picture of how the early church looked. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the teaching of the law, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. When we realise that the question is not who am I, can I be used by God? And we realise that this is not to do with identity, but this is to do with availability. God pours out his spirit on all. Lord, what do you require? He requires us to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. He requires us to love our neighbour as ourselves. He requires us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. He requires us to give to those who need it more. He requires us to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to give shelter to those who are homeless. He requires us to repent and be baptised. He requires us to take up the cross and to follow him. Wow. And not because we have to earn our path to heaven, but because we are invited through his grace to be part of a journey of building the kingdom. The Holy Spirit works in us and through us to do God's work. And I'm going to finish off with there's four pages. I'm going to finish off with two stories. A couple of years ago, I came home from Naturally Supernatural. It's a Christian conference that helps to equip the church through sharing and being spirit-led. And as with all festivals, I came home with the buzz of, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to help change my world. I'm going to help change this community. And at the time, I was at home and no one was in. I sat in my bedroom and I thought, right, for the last week, I've sat in talks and seminars about being led by the Spirit. And so I sat there and I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do right now? And I didn't feel anything majorly spiritual. There was no beaming light. There was no loud noise calling Emily. There was none of that. But I just thought that God said to me, go to the shop. And it seems, I've never told anyone this story. It seems ridiculous. Go to the shop, buy a bottle of Coke, and go and take it to a man named James in town. And I thought, yeah, that wasn't really what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe text somebody. Have you had a nice day? No. I thought that God had said, get a bottle of Coke, take it to a man named James, and take it into town. And I thought, I wrestled with this a little bit, and I thought, well, I've asked for this, so I've got to go with it. So I got in my car, went up to the top of the road to Job's at the top. I bought a bottle of Coke, and I made my way into town. And as I made my way into town, I thought, I don't really know where I'm going. Birmingham's quite a big place. And I thought, well, I'll just go to somewhere where I knew quite well. So I parked my car at Moore Street car park, next to Moore Street station. And I thought, what I'll do is I'll just walk from the car to the entrance. And there, somewhere there, will be a man named James. And I was kind of hoping that he would have a hat that said James. Or he might have a football shirt on that said James on the back. Or I don't know. But I parked the car, I got out, I got the bottle of Coke, and I walked to the entrance of Moore Street Station. And you know what? There wasn't a single person there. There was no one there. There wasn't a man named James. In fact, there wasn't a man at all, and I felt like a little bit of a numpty. I went back to my car, I wrote on the back of my car parking ticket that had cost me like £2.80 as well. It cost more than the bottle of Coke. And I wrote on the back of it, for James. And I got back out of my car, put it on a wall, put the note, and I put the bottle on top. Now, I don't know whether James became a Christian as a result of me leaving a bottle of Coke for him. I don't know if James drank or even found the bottle. I don't even know if James existed. But all I got from that story was that I was willing. I was willing to just do what I thought God was telling me, even though I might have got it wrong. You see, we've got to be willing and prepared to step out there. And if we're going to ask the question, Lord, what do you require of me? Then the Spirit will guide us, even if it seems a little bit mad. I'm going to finish with this final story. The following year, Naturally Supernatural Mum came to visit me for the day. And it was during that time that we were, as a church, we were discussing about the new kitchen. It was a couple of years ago. We'd had some money left to build a new kitchen. So for those that have joined us over the last couple of years, the kitchen that we've got now is really new, and we're really proud of it. And Mum wrote, I don't know if you can see this very well, but this is the notebook. And Mum wrote how to use kitchen. It's just at the bottom of the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, which I believe is the very next page, is what has God been saying? Where is there a need? While we were at Naturally Supernatural, later that afternoon, we ended up in a seminar. And the seminar was to do with mission. And it was where we first heard about the company TLG, Transforming Lives for Good. We'd never heard of it before. I believe that one or two people in the church had heard it. But me and Mum hadn't heard of this before. And it was there that we discovered a smaller organisation that TLG had recently partnered with called Make Lunch. Certainly the first time we'd heard of Make Lunch. Over 2 years ago, somebody wrote down how to use the kitchen. What has God been saying? Where is there a need? Lord, what is your plan here? Lord, what do you require? And sat in that seminar 2 years ago, we wouldn't have thought for a moment that 2 years later, we would be serving meals to children during the school holidays with over 50 church volunteers, 60 children on our books, and a growing organisation which is feeding and providing for the families of this community. Only this Thursday just gone, many of you know we had another of our mate lunch. We had 44 children plus another 17 parents and toddlers. By far the most that we've had at one of our sessions. 44 children plus another 17 parents and toddlers. Do I think that mate lunch would be where it is in this church if it wasn't for somebody just asking, what about the kitchen? We've got this brand new kitchen. What are we going to do with it? What has God been saying? Where is there a need? Do I think Mate Lunch would be where it is now, here? No, I actually don't think it would be. And there are many, many stories like this in our church. Just like the men in the stories in Luke, sometimes there's a bit of a sacrifice, bigger than others. You see, God is working in Yardley Baptist Church. We are a growing church. Do we dare as a church to ask, maybe as individuals or as a church, Lord, what do you require from us? Where can we serve? Where can we provide for our community? Where can we provide for each other? Can we ask that question and then wait and see what God has in store for us? If you only take one thing from today, choose of the next two options. Remember, firstly, we are saved by grace, which means that we don't have to prove anything. We can boldly ask, Lord, what do you require from me? Lord, what do you require from us? And have an expectation. God will use you. And secondly, the word of God already tells us what he requires. Love him, love our neighbour, and share his message with others. If nothing else, love him, love your neighbour, and share his message with others. That would probably be a good starting point. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the words from today, those that are of you would ring brightly and loudly in our ears. And that where I've added my own words, they'll just fall to the ground. Lord, I pray that the question, Lord, what do you require, would stay with us this week. That we don't need to give up everything, fly to the other side of the world, although for some of us that is our calling. But actually we can make a difference here, in the little things that we do, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community, in our city. Lord, what do you require of me? Lord, what do you require of us? Lord, what do you require as a church? Speak to us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to listen to what it is that you want us to do. Lord, what do you require? Help us to love you more. Help us to love others more. Help us to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Help us to go into the world and to tell others about you. Lord, what do you require? Amen.